recently read the story of a man who purchased two rose bushes. They were equal in size and appearance, with similar root structure, and he planted one on one side of his house and planted the other on the opposite side of his house. And to his dismay, after some time, he noticed that one was thriving and seemed to be filled with life, and the other one had drooped and was dying. He came to one conclusion. The one that was dying was living in the shade. The one that was living and thriving with life was living in the sunshine. I meet all kinds of Christians around the country. Those who are jubilant and thriving are Christians who are trusting God and living in the sunshine of His blessing. And I want to say some things tonight about our Heavenly Father and His trustworthiness. You can trust Him. I can trust Him. He's reliable. He's dependable. Trustworthy. Notice beginning in verse number 25 of Matthew chapter 6, Jesus makes some comments concerning life and what we might consider the more trivial things of life. He said, "Take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment?" Jesus said, you don't have to worry about these things. Then He tells us why we should not be filled with anxiety. "Behold the fowls of the air. For they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they?" Now, He is confronting us with the provisions, with the providential blessings that our Father arranges for His children. And it is from this perspective I want to magnify our Father in Heaven's trustworthiness. Notice, first of all, Jesus refers to the Father's creation. So we're looking then at the trustworthiness of our Father Creator. He begins by mentioning the fowls of the air, the birds, if you please. And I don't know how to explain or define these fowls in a summarized form other than to say, from what Jesus says about them, they are a bunch of freeloaders. They do not sow anything. They don't plant corn. They don't set out any tomato plants. They don't plant any green beans. They sow nothing. And the Bible adds, they don't even reap. They don't pick any beans. They don't pull any corn. They're a bunch of freeloaders. In fact, the Bible adds they don't even gather into the barns. They're not a part of the sowing process, and they're not a part of the reaping process. They're not even a part of the story process. But you have never seen a bird sitting over on the edge of a field eating his fingernails into the quick. That's left for those who are filled with unbelief. No. Jesus said, your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? If our Father, Creator, would take care of the fowls of the air, certainly He will take care of you and me, His believing children. Notice He not only uses the illustration of the fowls, the creation of God, but He uses the illustration of the flowers. Verse number 27, which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take you thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not. That is, they do not earn their living by the sweat of their brow. They toil not like men. And then he said, neither do they spin like women, spinning thread and making wool and providing garments for the family. They neither toil nor spin. But he said, yet even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. I like the way G. Campbell Morgan put it. He said, you put the lily by the side of Solomon in his magnificence, in his robes of gold and silver and splendor, and the lily is more beautifully clothed than Solomon. The finest fabric that the monarch ever wore, and you put it beside the garment of the lily, and it looks like sackcloth. Take the lily and submit its garment of delicate velvet to microscopic examination. And the more perfect your limbs, the more beautiful the weaving of the robe of the lily will be seen. I say that the Lord Jesus believed that the Father took care of the fowls of the air, and He also clothed the lilies of the field. Again, I would ask, are ye not much better than they? Somebody said, well, I'll have you to know, Brother Hayes, I don't worry about my food, and I don't worry about my clothes. No, a lot of us have been so well blessed that we worry how we're going to pay our visa payment from buying clothes. We worry how we're going to pay MasterCard and Penny's and Sears Roebuck and all the others. I say what Jesus taught in the Sermon on the Mount is very applicable to where we live in this society. Our Heavenly Father is trustworthy as our Father Creator. Notice there is a third illustration. Jesus not only mentioned our Father as the Creator of the fowls and the Creator of the flowers, but He mentions the Creator of the field. He adds in verse 30, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall He not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Now the grass, of course, would come up and would appear green for a brief season, and then would die, and they would take the grass and even burn it, using it as fuel. Jesus said if the Father would take care of something as temporal as the grass, How much more is He going to take care of you as His own child? I want to remind us afresh tonight that anyone who creates an item, anyone who produces an object, is to stand behind what is created. And the Father stands behind His creation. I promise you there is a heavenly guarantee on the creation of our Father. How much more is there a heavenly guarantee for you and me, His precious children in this world? I don't remember, I do not recall, I cannot in any way recount times when I worried about us having food on the table when I was a boy. I believed my earthly father would take care of the family. I did think that he planted too much corn, and I felt like that he could have done with several less than some of the rows of beans that we had to plant. I relived some of that today. My dad just got out of the hospital, and his garden was all grown up, and I was trying to get it hoed out and cleaned out today, and I relived those times when my dad would tell me to make sure that I got all the rows before he got home from work. And I remember one day I was so aggravated, I said to him, "Why do we have to plant 3 kernels of corn? Why not just plant 1 every 10 to 12 inches? Why 3? He said, "Well, son, one of them is for the crows, and," he said, "one of them is for you to cut down when you're hoeing." And he said, "That'll leave us 1 to get some corn off of for the family." He knew some things. I thought all the time I'd been able to hide those little shoots of corn that I'd thrown over there in the ditch. I didn't realize he was aware of that. I want to say I had no fear as a boy that we wouldn't have something on the table. I never worried about my clothes. I don't remember ever going to my little closet or my little chest of drawers and looking in and saying, "You know, I don't think I'm going to have enough to wear this week." No, I'd just go and get the same clothes every week. Wear the same thing. Isn't that terrible for somebody to see you in the same clothes this week that they saw you in last week? What a tragedy. And even in a camp meeting like this, wouldn't it be terrible to wear, some of you ladies, to wear the same dress this week that you wore last week? Wouldn't that be awful? I tell you, we have some strange concepts in our society. Most of them, men and women as well, are based upon pride and based upon an abundance that we have reaped in this particular age. But I never worried about my food or my clothing. No, my dad and mother bought so much clothing, that's what I wore. And they kept food on the table. How much more if my earthly father looked out for the family? How much more will my heavenly father look after his family here in this world? Somebody said, "I don't know what I'm going to do. I've got bills to pay, and I don't see any way." Well, now, if there are bills that you created, and bills that you promoted, and the things that God did not lead you in, you may have to go do some moonlighting, as they call it in our day. You may have to work a little extra job somewhere to pay off some of your selfish desires. But I tell you, if they are legitimate needs that God Himself has brought into your life, I promise you, you don't have to lay awake at night twiddling your thumbs and creating ulcers on top of your ulcers. There's no sparrow that worries about its next meal. It waits on you to come through McDonald's and drop one of your French fried potatoes for it.
I tell you, if our Heavenly Father takes care of His earthly creation, how much more will He take care of His heavenly creation? Created in the likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ, His children have no fears. There's no reason for anxiety, because our Heavenly Father is trustworthy. He's trustworthy. I want you to notice, secondly, Jesus not only advocates the trustworthiness of the Father in that He is the Father Creator, but He mentions, secondly, the trustworthiness of the Father in that He is the Father Caretaker. Now, there's some things that the children don't even have to think about. When you were a child, did you have to think about having a bed to sleep in? When you were a child, did you have to think about whether or not you would be accepted down at the schoolhouse? Well, those things never crossed my mind. I knew my daddy was taking care of me, and I didn't have to worry about what anybody else thought about me. I could just enjoy life with freedom and liberty. And some of your children tonight, seated here under this tabernacle, they don't have to worry about paying the house payment. They're not all disturbed about that loan on the car. They'll not lay awake tonight worrying about something that's due this weekend, while some of them will go to sleep before they leave here, these grounds tonight. They have no troubles in their mind and in their thinking. And so it is with God's people. We have no reason for anxiety or worry. Our Heavenly Father is just, He is known to take care of things before we ever even find out about it. In fact, look at verse number 31. This verse has moved my heart today. Jesus said, therefore, take no thought. You don't even have to think about it. Saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? You see, our Father, caretaker, He gives us assurance that these things are going to work out all right. How foolish. In fact, how silly, how unnecessary this constant worry. One writer mentioned this, and I think it's worthy of repetition. He said, if worrying would solve the problem, then why do you have to worry again and again? For one worried thought should solve it. No, we worry and worry and worry and worry, and we're never any better off after we've worried much. I'm trying to point you to a God in heaven tonight who is trustworthy. You can stand on His promises. You can sit in His provisions. You can rest in His love. He is our Father caretaker. Takes care of us. There's assurance. You don't even have to think about it. Don't even have to take no thought. Four times Jesus said, you take no thought. Take no thought. Don't even think about it. I remember in years gone by when I would pray about certain things. And I was worrying myself sick, and I was trying to explain to God that the reason I was praying about them so much is I was believing Him to take care of them. Oh God, you're going to have to come through. Oh God, I don't know what's going to happen unless you provide. We're trusting you. You're just going to have to do something. Oh, and I was wearing myself sick in what I was trying to call faith in God. Oh, dear friend, if you're trusting God, you don't have to wear yourself sick, and you don't have to wear anybody else sick. Oh, but I said, well, I tell you, I have faith in God. That's the reason I pray. Well, we're exalted to pray. We're exalted to seek the face of God. But I tell you, a lot of our so-called praying is not praying at all. It's worrying out loud. Lord, I've been thinking about this. We need to do that. Lord, you're going to have to come through. I tell you, Lord, it's like this. And while you're praying, you're worrying yourself into knots. Oh, I find now there are times when things come up similar to the way they did in years gone by. And instead of me worrying myself sick and even trying to frenzy God over it, I find myself hardly even thinking about it, because He's done it so much. He's done it so often. He's done it so constantly. God has come through on so many occasions. You just expect Him to do it. And so He takes care of us as our caretaker with assurance. Take no thought. Don't even think about it. Quit throwing yourself into a frenzy about it. I just feel like I need to stay here and belabor this a little longer. I dare say there's folks here tonight that are consumed with fear about their job. You've had that job for so many years, you know what it takes to get by for the week, and that job has provided those needs. And above those needs, and all of a sudden there's some fellas down there near you who have gotten laid off, and you automatically say, well, I'll be next. I know that I'm on the list now when they ask him to take his job somewhere else, his ability somewhere else. I never dreamed of it. I must be next. And if you're not careful, you'll eat it at the supper table, and you'll eat it before you go to bed, and you'll get up with it on your stomach in the morning. You carry the job. Now, you don't even look like you're laid off before you get there. I say there's somebody else here tonight that may be concerned about your rent money. Looks like it's all over. There's no way you're going to be able to come through. Well, may I ask you, did God bring you into the circumstance you're presently operating in? Did God create the environment that you're living in? Oh, if the fowls of the air are not worrying about rent money, God will help you and me not to worry about rent money. And I said, but preacher, you don't understand my situation. No, but our Heavenly Father happens to understand it perfectly. Oh, I say to you, He is our caretaker, and He takes care of us assuredly, certainly. Without any reluctance, we can trust Him with our situations. Notice, not only did Jesus say, you don't have to take any thought about these things, don't even ask these questions. He's more than your questions. He's more than your situation. He's more than your circumstance. But notice, secondly, Jesus not only emphasized the Father's assurance in taking care of us, but He emphasized the Father's authority in taking care of us. He said, verse number 32, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek. Of course, many of you understand the word Gentiles is used interchangeably in the Scriptures with the word heathen. I heard a fellow say the other day, he said, this is not a heathen country. Well, I might contest that a bit, By nature, we are heathen. I said, well, our neighbor, they're raising a bunch of heathen. Well, that's what you're raising apart from the grace of God. Gentiles, these are the Gentile nations. And Jesus said, it is all these things, what they shall eat, what they shall wear, what they shall drink. That's what the Gentile nations seek after. That's what the heathen are very much consumed with and concerned about. Jesus seems to indicate they're left on their own. That's normal for them to be looking out for themselves. But we, as the children of our Heavenly Father, are not left out in the weather without a shield, without a covert. But we have our Father's protection plan hanging over us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 12 months a year. We have the promise that He will take care of His children. The psalmist said, I have been young, now I'm old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor a seed begging bread. And so Jesus promises us that this Father is trustworthy, not only as our Creator, but as our caretaker. He will take care of us assuredly. He will take care of us authoritatively. And notice in verse 32, he mentions in the last phrase, God will take care of us in an aware manner. Notice his awareness. For your heavenly Father knoweth. Now, that we would not doubt. God knows everything we would say. But notice how specific this statement is. Your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. You think God has brought you to where you are and He's forgotten about you? You think God is in the dark about your family need? Do you think God has forgotten you financially, economically? Do you feel like God has lost an awareness of your needs? Physically, maybe your health seems to be deteriorating. Do you think God has forgotten what you need physically? Do you think God has forgotten what you need mentally? Do you think God has forgotten what you need as far as energy and strength is concerned? Oh no! If my earthly Father made sure I had food and garments and made sure that I was healthy, and if sick, He would take me to the doctor, and every other situation in life, He looked over those for me. How much more will my Heavenly Father take care of the situations of my Christian experience? Oh, He's my caretaker. And He's going to take care of me assuredly. He's going to take care of me authoritatively, and He's going to take care of me with His awareness. My Father knows. He knows what you have need of tonight. He knows exactly what I have need of tonight. By the way, He knew what you had need of before this meeting ever was originated. He knew what you had need of before you decided you'd come here tonight. He knew what you had need of before the song service started. He knew what you had need of before He burdened my heart to magnify His trustworthiness. And I want to say tonight, there's enough going on in religious circles that is a deterrent to faith. I want to do my best to encourage faith. Our God is trustworthy. Our God is reliable. He's our Father creator. He's our Father caretaker. Let me say thirdly, He is our Father calculator. He calculates these things. My youngest daughter came into the office yesterday when I was trying to calculate some things. And she made a comment. And in a few minutes she said, "Daddy, did you not hear me?" I said, "No, I'm trying to figure up some things. I got to get this together." So she repeated it. She said, "Did you catch that?" I said, "Part of it." "What'd you say?" "I was calculating. I was thinking. I was trying to look out for my family, look out for my home, and look out for the ministry. I was trying to provide as a father." But oh, I tell you, our Heavenly Father calculates exactly and precisely. In fact, He doesn't even have to reflect on things as we reflect on things. He has a perfect cognizance and awareness of what is going on in this world, in His people's lives. Casting, listen to this, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Now, I might add, His calculations sometimes are strange. Listen to this verse, verse 33. "But seek ye first the kingdom of God." Amen. You mean I'm supposed to do that first? I'm not supposed to seek my food first? I'm not supposed to seek my drink and my clothing first? I'm not supposed to secure my job first? I'm not supposed to make sure that the future is very softly bedded? First things first! Jesus said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness." You see, the Father's got this thing calculated right. If you'll seek His kingdom and His righteousness in a proper perspective, you'll give priority to the kingdom of God and His righteous principles and His righteous program. God pledges that He'll take care of everything else. Oh, that seems strange, doesn't it? We don't have to seek these other things first like the Gentiles do. But we can seek our Father's kingdom and His righteousness first. That's a strange calculation. But notice His calculations are not only at times strange, but they are always sure. For He said, "All these things shall be added unto you." God has pledged, He has given His allegiance, He has given His covenant promise, He will take care of His children in every facet of life. Somebody said, "Well, I feel like God wants me to do this, but I just keep figuring." You quit figuring and leave the figuring to God. You just trust God. You step out on His will and trust God to bring out whatever He wants to bring out and add in your life in His own time and season. Our Heavenly Father is trustworthy because He is a Father calculator. Strange are His calculations, but sure are His calculations. Isn't it interesting how life evades, the blessings of life evade us? We have something in our goal or in our sights, and that's what we want. Boy, if I can get that new house, I tell you, I don't believe we can live here any longer. Let me get that new house. And we set that out there in front of us, and we push everything else to the side and clear us out a path, and we head towards it. And when you get there, there's no real satisfaction. You wish you'd built it some other way. You wish you hadn't let so-and-so drive one nail. If you had it to do over again, you wouldn't even build it. You'd go and buy so you wouldn't have all that pressure on you. Have you ever heard that? Oh, have I heard that? Even when I was thinking about building a couple of years ago, everybody told me,
don't do that. Just get somebody to do it and you get out of the way.
Oh, what about a job? If you had your sights on some job,
boy, if I could work there. There's four Christians right there in that one section. If I could work with them, brother, you talk about heaven on earth. Right now, all I'm going through is hell on earth for that crowd I work with. If I could just get that job and you set your sights on it and you go after it, and then when you get it, it tastes like the bitter waters of Marah. They did not satisfy. I tell you, we should not set our goals on the things of this world, but rather we should set our sights on God and His kingdom righteousness. And then He adds all these other things according to His good pleasure. And I never have been a good mathematician. I was very deficient. When I took my college entrance exam, my math world was very deficient. And it's not much to boast on tonight. But I do know this. If He said He will add these things unto you, I'm going to have more by seeking Him and His righteousness than I am by seeking after more. The idea is, don't seek the little thing, or don't seek the great big things so you wind up with the little bitty things, but seek the kingdom of God first and His righteousness, and you end up with the things that God wants you to have. Oh yes, they're strange, but they're sure calculations our Father makes. And here's what I'd like to conclude with. They are satisfying. Verse 34 says, take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. You got enough pressure today without trying to worry about what's going to happen tomorrow. But the Lord Jesus promises us that the Father will satisfy the desires of our hearts if we pant after Him. If we pant after Him. I've been thinking about this for several weeks. I've never done this publicly. I have done it privately on a couple occasions since I've been thinking about this. But I'd like to do it publicly tonight. Is there anybody here tonight that can say that when you have sought God and panted after God, you've thirsted after God, and you've sought His kingdom first, that you went without? Is the one here tonight who would be bold enough to say that God has done you wrong? Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. No member, no pastor, no teacher, no deacon, no evangelist, no missionary can say if they have sought God first and His kingdom righteousness first that God has mistreated them. God will take care of, hey, little wife, that husband seems to be a little more confident that God's going to take care of you than you are. But I want to remind you, He'll take care of you. Whether you think your husband has gone after some wild venture again, whether you feel like maybe he didn't pray enough or not, whether you feel like maybe somebody else has persuaded him or coerced him, I promise you, if you're seeking God and His kingdom righteousness first, you will not do without. All these things shall be added unto you. I'm trying to tell you, jump out in God's will and believe Him to take care of you. He's trustworthy. Faith is not a leap into the dark. It's a leap into God's blessings.
it believes in the God's provisions. It believes in the God's supply. It believes in the God's resources. It believes in the God's adequacy. Leap by faith, trust Him, and do what He wants you to do, whether you see it, feel it, taste it, or think it. Do the will of God.
And all these things shall be added unto you. I got this on my mind today. In high school, when I was playing basketball, I brought that little brochure home for my daddy. And I said, "Daddy, look here. If we can come up with this amount of money, I'll have me a school jacket. And at the end of the ball season, when I get that letter, I can put it on my jacket." And he looked at the amount, and he said, "Son, do you have that amount?" I said, "No, sir." He said, "Neither do I." He said, "I don't know that we'll be able to do it." Well, we didn't. We didn't buy that jacket. But for Christmas, my daddy found a little surplus store that had some jackets that had the same school colors as my high school. They weren't as shiny, and they weren't as pretty. And I want to tell you, when I lettered, and they gave me that letter, I didn't even think about it not being one of those highbrow, expensive jackets. This is what my daddy had got me. I want to tell you, you may not wear the big name clothes, and you may not drive the most modern vehicle, and you may not live in the most luxurious subdivision in the county, and you may not eat T-bone steak every other night, but I want to tell you, our Heavenly Father will see to it that you have exactly what you need, and on many occasions, even more than what you need. Trust Him. He's trustworthy. I close with this little illustration I read of a Jewish father who went overboard, perhaps, in teaching his son to have no confidence in any man. He told him over and over and over, "Son, don't trust anybody. Don't trust your neighbors. Don't trust your family members. Trust no one." The little boy had been a little slow in learning the lesson. So the father took it a little further in his application. One day he said to his little son, "Jump off the porch and Father will catch you." The little boy, being hesitant and reluctant, said, "No, Father, I don't want to jump. It's too far." "Oh, son, I'll catch you. Your Father will catch you. You promise you'll catch me, Father?" "Yes, I'll catch you." And the little boy jumped, and the father moved, and the boy had a fall on the ground. And he got up crying and said, "But Daddy, you said you would catch me. Why did you not catch me?" He said, "Trust no man, my son." Well, that may be a little overboard for some people. But I want to encourage you to go ahead and jump. Because our Heavenly Father will be there to catch you. He's not going to let you splat on the ground. He is not going to let you miss His arms and His best. Go ahead and jump. Go ahead and leap. He can be trusted. Mama, He can be trusted. Daddy, He can be trusted. Husband, God our Heavenly Father is trustworthy. Dear wife, God our Heavenly Father is trustworthy. Young man, you can trust our Heavenly Father. I say to Meg, go ahead and jump. Do what He's been dealing with you about. Go ahead and leave. If He's called you,
if he's beckoning to you, don't back up now. Don't fret now. I tell you, you can trust our Father.
Therefore Jesus said, are ye not much better than they? Oh, that the Holy Ghost would help us afresh to trust Him as never before. Would you stand with me, please?